coming up on the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show.
We're going to debunk some popular garden myths to save you time in your garden this season. And we have our guest, Venus Williams, and she is the executive director for Alice's Garden right here in Milwaukee.
Your questions via tweet, email, and call-in. This is the only garden radio show in Milwaukee. Tell your friends because it all starts right now.
You're tuned in to the only vegetable gardening radio show in Milwaukee with your host, Joey Baird, who grew up in the country but now lives closer to the city, and Holly Baird, who has always been a city girl. Combined, they have over 25 years of gardening experience who believe in simple gardening practices. A gardener for all gardeners, founders of the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, where they created over 800 household garden videos to teach others how to grow more of what they eat. Join them for the next hour as they discuss vegetable gardening and more.
Welcome to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener radio program. We are so happy you have joined us today on the program. I am your host, Joy Baird. Beside me is my wife, best friend, and co-host,
Holly Baird.
Behind the WNOV 860 and W293 CX 106.5 FM microphone. We are happy to have you here. We've got a number of great sponsors that make this show possible. That's no mystery.
Nacella Kombucha is the executive sponsor of the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. Nacella is made in Wisconsin with your local tea and natural herbs. Look for it in the refrigerator aisle at your local grocer. If you don't see it, ask for it, because if it's not Nacella Kombucha, it's not kombucha. Find more information at nacella.com.
There's a number of ways in which you can contact us here on the program. One is the ivyorganics.com hotline.
Ivy Organic 3-in-1 Plant Guard naturally protects plants against damaging sunburn, insects, and rodents. Protects newly installed plants and trees. Shields pruned and damaged surfaces. For use on your roses, fruit, and nut trees, ornamental trees, and shrubs. This product is non-toxic, environmentally safe, and organic. For more information, visit ivyorganics.com.
That is the phone number for the ivyorganics.com hotline, which is 414-444-5250. And you do not have to wait until the last 10 minutes of the program to call in with your gardening question. We will take it throughout the program, but 414-444-5250. You can also tweet us on Twitter. Put your little tweet in and use hashtag TWVG, and we will see it on our end. And if you just want to say hi, how you doing, let us know where you are listening from. You can also email us at twvgradio@gmail.com. That can get you a hold of us any 24/7, 365, twvgradio@gmail.com. We have no public talks this week on the calendar, but we do want to make note that we will be March 29th in New Berlin at the New Berlin Public Library on how to grow the best tomatoes at 6 p.m. And Saturday, April 1st, it's a doubleheader, Mead Public Library. We're going to talk about how to grow in straw bales, and that's at 1 p.m. And 2:10, maximizing your garden space no matter the size. And if you have a garden group, club, organization, business, gathering you would like us to speak gardening at, you can contact us under the speaking request tab on our website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, or you can you can just send us an email, twvgradio@gmail.com. We have a list of topics in which we talk about, and we can accommodate your specific topic if you have one special.
And next week we have a giveaway.
Yeah, next week we will have two consecutive weeks. We'll be doing a $10 giveaway from migardener.com. They're our seed supplier, the official seed supplier. Each package of seeds is 99 cents. And the only requirement is you have to have a valid email address, because that's how you're going to get the voucher and how you're going to find the coupon code in order to get your free seed. So keep that in mind. Let your friends know. We want to make note that if you pick up a Journal Sentinel tomorrow, we will have there will be an article about us in the paper about us and the radio program here. If you would like to not purchase a Journal Sentinel, you can find that information on our website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com. They released it earlier this week, and they're going to put it in the paper on Sunday. We're very thankful for those individuals to write a story on us, as well as the CBS 58 team on Milwaukee.com, those individuals who have taken time out to acknowledge us and to let more of the community know that we're doing a good thing. When bad things happen, and all of you who are listening understand this and see this, when something bad happens in the community, every media individual shoves a microphone into a public official's mouth, and everybody's there. But here we're doing a positive thing for the community, teaching people how to grow healthier food, and we scratch and claw and pull and prod and email consistently to these stations and papers, and we get very little traction. So if you would like to see us on the news on 12, 4, or 6, just go to their website, and there's a big contact button on the main page, and send a little email. Tell them that they need to know who we are. They need to come out and do a story on us because of the positive things that we were doing. So with that being said, is there anything else that we need to cover real quickly there?
No, I don't think so.
Well, let's get into common garden myths. We're going to debunk a whole bunch of garden myths, as we're going to take the first segment and the second segment this week and debunk garden myths, because this is a topic in which a lot of people use techniques that are passed down through generations or through social media sites like Pinterest. They see a picture and they try to mimic it. But what occurs is there's some scientific base that shows that it doesn't work, or it is just fictional and it's simply clickbait. So
right.
let's talk about a couple of them here.
So one of them is watering your plants above ground during the day. The water droplets left on the leaves will burn the plants.
Now, this is a common one that many gardeners had not done, above ground watering. And the myth is, or the theory behind it is, the water droplets stay present on the leaves of the plant, and it acts as a magnifying glass, and the sun rays penetrate through that water droplet, and it scars the leaf of the plant. And that simply is not true. And the reasons why is...
When it rains during the summer all around the world and plants are just fine, more of an issue is that the irrigation water will evaporate and not be as effective. So you want to think about that, about how if you're going to water during the middle of the day, that water may just evaporate.
Right. That's what really is happening. You're not burning the plants. It's that above ground watering during the heat of the day, the water is absorbed by the atmosphere and sucked back up and evaporates.
Right. That's exactly right. So number two, I will read it here, talk about it, and then you can kind of explain it since you understand a little bit more. So don't use pressure-treated lumber for your edible garden beds because it will poison the soil and your plants.
Now, this was true about 20 years ago when pressure-treated lumber was treated with arsenic and creosotes and toxins. Since then, the industry has changed, and those toxins are no longer used. There is a copper solvent is used in order to treat that lumber. Now there is some micronutrients of copper that is required for plant development, and tests have been performed in which they've taken soil from the internal portions of a raised bed that was built with pressure treated lumber with this copper fungicide, this copper treatment, and from the central portion and the soil that was touching the actual lumber. The concern is the leaching of that copper into the soil, or before that copper, years ago when that poison was, the leaching of that poison into the soil, the uptake to the plant, and the consumption of the gardener of the plant in which they were growing. Well, with the test that they performed with the copper-treated lumber, the internal portions of the bed showed no detection. The portions of the soil which was touching the actual copper-treated lumber had a minute amount of copper, which was far below the regulation requirements or the safety limits that the Food and Drug Administration sets forth. So the reason why you would choose pressure-treated lumber is because it would last so much longer. Obviously, the wood of choice is cedar, but it's extremely expensive. Pine is the cheap. That's the white coloring wood or the yellowish wood at the home improvement center. And the pressure treated lumber is that green looking lumber that is slightly more expensive, but you can get so many more years out of it. So some people still feel it's a concern. So if that is you, make your own educated decision on whether or not you choose to use pressure treated lumber, even though it is a safer form of pressure treated than it has been in the past.
Okay, so let's talk about pine needles. Some people feel if you pine needles fall on your garden, if you use it to mulch, it's going to acidify your soil.
Pine needles on the actual pine tree are extremely acidic. They're about a 3.5 on the acidity level. Now, your acidity level runs from 0 to 7, and then 7 to 14 is alkaline. So keep this in mind here. True, on the actual pine tree, they are about a 3.5. But when they fall and you put them in your garden or you mix them in with soil, they take such a long time to break down that the actual pH level of that needle neutralizes to a 7, which is the majority of garden soils here in southeast Wisconsin. So you can use it as a mulch. You can use it as just dig it into your soil. It's not going to disrupt the pH levels of your garden soil, as many people think that it will. It simply will not. Tests have been shown that it's not going to do that. It takes so long to break down. And soil has what is called a buffering capacity. That's when, if there's a little acid rain that falls in your garden, the soil is not going to absorb that acid and change the levels of the pH in your soil. It's the way nature and God made this, so it doesn't, you know, you can't, it, stuff doesn't get poisoned instantly. So what's another one that we can debunk?
So there's this common myth that when you're buying peppers, like green peppers or peppers for cooking, that the three lobe, if you look at the bottom, if there's three lobes, that's better for cooking. And if there's four, that's better for eating, which means that the male would be the three and female would be the four. And then the if it's four lobes, it's sweeter. And then if it's three, it's not. But that's not true. So lobes are full genetic, the pepper plants, and it's just that peppers are self-pollinating. There's no male or female.
Not really sure where this theory even came from. And a lot of this, again, Pinterest. A lot of people post a picture and don't
know. No, I've seen it in emails that were spread around back in like the 90s and all sorts of stuff.
But there's no male or female pepper plants. They have the flowers contain both reproductive organs. And it's just a genetic, like Holly spoke about, the bottom of the – it means nothing. Some of them even have five lobes on the bottom. So this is just some crazy thing that somebody has made up for whatever giggles, I guess, or for some maybe marketing purpose.
Well, no, it's just like an old wives' tale, basically.
Right. So that don't worry. Peppers are peppers. They're all the same. One is just as good as the other. But you do want to know what you're eating, hot or mild, because that can ruin a relationship on that.
Okay, so do you want to read this or talk about this one? I'll talk about it.
Okay, which one are we looking at here?
Adding sand.
Adding sand to your garden bed to break up the clay particles to make the soil looser. Well, that's
not true.
That's not true. We've actually talked about this in a video and informed people wrongly. We'll admit when we're wrong, and this was one that in which we did. Adding the sand to the soil, supposedly the myth is, or the theory is, changing the chemical makeup of the soil to break up the clay particles. Clay particles are very, very small, and there's a lot of nutrients in it, but they're still locked together, and that's why when you grab a clump of clay soil, it just holds together. It doesn't break apart like good compost. Your best thing you can add to your garden bed that is heavily clayed is compost. Compost will naturally break down the microbes, the organisms in there will naturally break down and begin to loosen that clay soil up. You can also add gypsum, and that will break up the lime particles in the clay, but it can be very, very costly, that gypsum is. So just use regular compost. Continue to amend your beds with compost. And if you don't think this is true, or if you think adding sand actually works, here's a little word problem. Sand plus clay equals adobe. This is how the Native Americans and other individuals in the Southwest built their houses. They took clay and they took sand and they put water together and they made these bricks. So it doesn't work very well in the garden. You're just going to have a mess is what you're going to have.
Okay, so then we also have adding grass clippings as mulch will add more weeds. Now, before we explain this, when you add your grass clippings as mulch, you want to dry them out a bit. If you add the wet grass clippings as mulch, you could get a moldy, nasty situation. So you want them to be dry grass clippings.
The reason why it's not going to add weed seeds to your garden bed, and mulch is an incredibly important portion of your garden, whether you're using them on containers, raised beds, traditional ground garden, to retain moisture and suppress the weeds. Adding dry grass clippings, chemical-free grass clippings, in addition to that, because if you are spraying your lawn with a chemical, cutting that grass, putting it in the garden, that chemical that's already in the grass can leach into the soil and really affect sensitive plants like peppers, eggplants, and tomatoes and devastate them. You're cutting your grass, and most people don't have a prairie in their backyard. Grasses are going to grow at a certain height. You're going to mow it off. They're not going to contain seed pods. If your grass contains seed pods, do not put them in the garden. Those seed pods will dry and extract the seed. Normal, regular backyard gardening or backyard yards just have regular grass. And by using that mulch is a great way to increase the moisture in your soil and keep it there. We're going to go to break in just a moment, and then we are going to come back and we are going to debunk a bunch more of these myths. And then later at the bottom of the hour, Venus Williams, the executive director of Alice's Garden, will be with us here on the program. We'll be back right after this.
Have a gardening question? Email Joey and Holly at twvgradio@gmail.com.
Do you want your next raised beds to be easy, functional, and beautiful? The Embrace helps you create the garden you've always wanted. Finally, raised beds that everyone can assemble and enjoy. No tools needed. Just slide any lumber into the Embrace corner, fill with your favorite soil mix, and you're ready to plant. Made from 100% recycled steel right here in the USA. And a portion of every sale helps to build school and community gardens all across the country. Let the Embrace help you create your next raised bed. Grow beautifully with the Embrace, available at local garden centers and online at artofthegarden.net.
Hatchin Mill, 125 years of experience producing stone ground organic flour and cornmeal made from premium quality whole grains. Family owned company, continual standards that are non-GMO, organic at the highest safety levels, offering a wide variety of flours, pasta, baking mixes, flaxseed, and more, even kosher and gluten-free options. Found at most local grocers like Woodman's. For more information and recipes, visit hodgsonmill.com. That's HODGSONMILL.com.
Hi, I'm John Lewandowski, retail manager of Blue Mel's Garden and Landscape Center. Now, I'm not going to tell you about our awesome dome-grown plants, our beautiful pottery, or our 40 varieties of landscape materials. What I am going to tell you is that Blue Mel's is a local, independent, family-owned garden center that truly cares about your garden or landscape project. So if you're looking for that one garden center that actually cares about you, come to Blue Mel's Garden and Landscape Center. We've been treating our customers like family since 1955.
Blue Mel's, 4930 West Loomis Road, 414-282-4220.
The number one key to healthy, productive plants are the roots. Starting from seed to full-grown plants, RootMaker.com has the answer. From seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots, creating a fabulous root system, never again will you have root-bound plants, to multiple gallon grow bag sizes to raised beds. RootMaker.com has your grow needs covered. Visit RootMaker.com.
Do you have a little space to grow? Check out Greenstock Vertical Gardens at GreenstockGarden.com. Greenstock is engineered to grow with its innovative space and water-saving design. You can grow vegetables, flowers, herbs, and even strawberries in just 2 square feet of space. Grow up instead of out. Perfect for the porch, patio, or deck. Grow up to 30 plants in a small space. GreenstockGarden.com has everything you need to grow in the littlest of spaces. Proudly made in the USA. For more information and to purchase, visit GreenstockGarden.com.
Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show with your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
Welcome back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Program. So happy you have joined us today. The WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, your destination for all things gardening. Social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, videos, and a whole lot more. We're going to get back to debunking a whole bunch more garden myths to save you steps in the garden this year. But first, a message from our good friends at TreeRipe.com.
If you like fresh produce delivered right to your neighborhood, you should check out TreeRipe Citrus Company. You can find out where to pick up the top quality produce from TreeRipe.com. They have beautiful, tasty peaches and juicy, sweet blueberries. If you're sick of bland, mealy peaches and lackluster blueberries from your local grocer, TreeRipe has what you need. They come right to the stop in your neighborhood, fresh off the truck, right from the source. For location and schedules, visit TreeRipe.com. And that's tree-ripe.com. They have locations all over, including Iowa, Upper and Lower Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois, and right here in Wisconsin. Tree-ripe.com is your go-to for the freshest produce around.
And you just they pull up in a parking lot, you get your money out, they have a truck, and they unload efficient and quality produce that they have.
Definitely.
Yeah, I got to pick them up this year because you normally do it. And
it's a good time.
It's a good time. Yep. So let's get back to debunking some more garden myths here, because this is I find this fascinating, and this is a lot of valuable information in order to help you to save steps in your garden. We always do, you know, we do certain procedures in the garden because we've been taught that, we've seen that, grandma's taught us that, it's always been done that way. But if there's no scientific base behind it, and there's no actual physiological reasoning behind it, just simply because somebody has told us to do it, what's the point of doing it? So we're going to look at adding eggshells to your planting hole to feed your plants this year. Now, eggshells contain calcium. Calcium is a nutrient in which the plants need to grow. Tomatoes, especially, you'll see people put calcium in the hole at the time of planting for tomatoes. Now, eggshells, what you can do is dry them in the microwave for a minute to get them as dry as possible, and people will crush them up and throw them in the hole. Well, that will eventually break down, but not this year. The more surface area in which you can grind your eggshell up, even if you turn it into a powder and put it in the hole, not all of that calcium is going to be available this year for the plants to pick up. It will be available by next year at this time, because the microbial life in the soil has to break down to a form in which the plants can pick up. But, you know, it's not going to take effect immediately. So keep that in mind. It does break down eventually. It will help your plants maybe towards the end part of this growing season, but it will definitely be in the soil for next season. So it's not put in the soil now and it's going to feed the plants right away and everybody's going to be happy, because that simply is not the scientific method. It just doesn't work that way.
So since we're talking about calcium and nutrients, let's talk about some Epsom salts. So a lot of people, a lot of older people might know this, but not younger people, adding Epsom salt to the soil for plants like tomatoes and bell peppers. And so I don't know if this is really a myth.
Now, why are we adding this, or why do people believe that to add this to their soil or or hole?
From our experience, it helps blossom and root rot. And it also, for a lot of flower gardeners, will say it provides better color to their flowers, and there's just many other random benefits that people talk about.
The old-time farmers would add Epsom salt to their gardens or their fields in order to build up the greenness in the plants. And that there is some science behind that. But what there's no science behind it, the theory is adding the Epsom salt to prevent blossom end rot on your tomatoes. Now, blossom end rot is whenever you're growing your tomato during the summer. Beautiful plant, lot of fruit on there, and you start looking under the actual fruit itself, and it's black or brown and sunken in, and it's very unpleasant, and it's rotten. You cut it open, it's pretty much gone through the entire fruit. What occurs is, the reason why that is occurring in your plant is, the plant can't take up the necessary calcium to build up the cells in that fruit to properly develop. And the theory is, or the myth is, adding the Epsom salt creates a science in the soil that allows the plant to take up the necessary calcium. Well, here's what's really going on. There is, your soil may be loaded with more calcium than a truckload going down the highway, but your plants can't get it. It's not accessible to the plants because the soil is too dry. There has to be a certain amount of moisture in the soil for your plants to pick up nutrients. So inconsistent watering, longevity of drought can have this occur on your tomato plants. So consistent watering, allowing the soil to always stay damp to allow the root follicles to pick up the micronutrients, the nutrients, and all the other stuff that is needed for the plant to develop the fruit properly, is the actual solution to the problem. You can add Epsom salt for the magnesium, which actually there is, you know, plants need magnesium to grow, but is not the root solution to preventing blossom end rot. So that's where that comes from. We will continue to add Epsom salt because of that magnesium efficiency that provides the tomato plant and the pepper plant and the eggplant, but we're not adding it to prevent blossom end rot.
I guess we should also say, especially for new gardeners, that the soil is the lifeblood of your plants. A lot of times if you're having a problem, you're having you know, some sort of disease. If it's not a pest, a lot of times it's something in your soil. And we talked about a little bit of that last week.
And we'll talk more about it next week.
Right.
But, yeah, if the plant, the soil tells you, tells the plant what's wrong, and it could be a toxicity level, could be a nutrient deficiency, a lot of things. And we're going to go over that in detail next week, so stay tuned for that.
I like this one here. Red plastic mulch will ripen tomatoes faster. And we've heard this a number of times. And a lot of people will put, like, red plastic mulch below their tomato plants or just, like, I don't know, what do they use? Red plastic?
You can buy it at the garden center. Okay. Red plastic mulch.
And so we've heard this theory, but the gas ethylene is what, it just like banana, same thing that's in bananas, is what ripens your tomato plants or your tomatoes. So what you could do is if you're having a ripening problem, you can put them in a paper bag put some bananas in a paper bag with the tomatoes, and that ethylene will help ripen them.
Well, the theory or the myth is the sun hits that red mulch and reflects that red light up to the tomato, and the tomato ripens. And there's just no scientific background to that. The only thing that mulch is actually helping the tomato ripen is warming the roots, keeping the roots warmer, which in turn helps the production of the plant produce quicker. You can use black mulch, green mulch, purple mulch. It doesn't matter. It's not going to make the tomatoes ripen quicker. It will keep the soil warmer, which will in turn accelerate the ripeness of your tomatoes. So don't go on that theory that I'm putting red mulch down because that will help the development of the tomato plants grow quicker. It just doesn't work that way. There's no science base to that. It's just a cell gimmick.
But ethylene gas is science,
right?
And that is what ripens your tomatoes.
Right, and there's companies in which will harvest plants, tomatoes, for example, early, put them in a building, fill it with ethylene gas to get them in the stages of ripening, and then they'll ship them off to market. And by the time they get to market, they will be ripe, but sometimes they taste like cardboard. So keep that in mind too.
Right.
So potato towers. I want to cover this one. Potato towers are these – this spurred from Pinterest. This is
– it's totally Pinterest. And I saw a video the other day somebody posted where you plant okay, so basically the idea
is that explain what a potato tower is before we get into why it doesn't work.
So what you'll see is people build a tall box, basically.
2 foot by 2 foot, 4 square feet.
Or they'll use a tall container or something, even like a 5-gallon bucket, something that has a little bit of height to it. And what they'll show is okay, you take your first, I don't know, 1/3 of it, fill it with soil, you put some potatoes in there. And then once those start to sprout, you fill it with more soil, but another 1/3, and put those potatoes in there. And then the final step would be to, once the second layer starts to sprout, you fill it up the rest of the way and put more seed potatoes in there. And then supposedly you have this overabundance amount of potatoes.
Yeah, 4 foot square foot area would provide 100 pounds of potatoes.
Right.
Because potatoes are the same family of tomatoes, and tomatoes, if you bury the stem, as deep as you bury the stem, hair follicles will create more roots on the stalk of the tomato plant. This is not true in potatoes. Potatoes have two varieties. They're determinate and indeterminate varieties. But that simply means nothing to the effect of if you let it grow 17 feet long, it's going to put potatoes on the entire stem. That's not true. And you look at any video on YouTube, there's none of them that ever succeed in having any more potatoes than what has already been planted. Well, before Venus Williams, the executive director of Allison's Gardens, comes on, grass cutting season is nearly upon us, and when you're going to cut grass and you're going to get the tools that's needed for good lawn care, you might as well get the best in the business.
So do you hear that? That's your neighbor shaking in their grass-stained shoes because Aaron's is about to help you step up your grass-cutting game. Your name is on the mailbox, so Aaron's name should be on your mower. Heavy-duty steel construction, smarter, smoother controls, professional cutting performance. The only thing we love more than the smell of freshly cut grass is the sweet taste of victory. Aaron's, it comes down to this. Visit Aaron's.com to find your local dealer for lawn and snow removal equipment.
And we'll be right back after these messages from our great sponsors with Venus Williams, the executive director of Allison's Garden here in Milwaukee.
Tweet Joey and Holly using hashtag TWVG.
what you say. You say Nasala Kombucha. It'll put some glide in your stride and some pep in your step. Nasala Kombucha. Yeah.
Nasala Kombucha makes your body happy. Nasala Kombucha makes your body smile.
Beans and Barley Marketing Cafe, a neighborhood specialty grocery store for the east side of the greater Milwaukee area, where you can find all you need, from fresh produce to bakery to organic frozen dinners, from wine to fresh squeezed carrot juice. A health food store with hundreds of products, vitamins, supplements, bath and body items, magazines, cards, books, and a knowledgeable staff. Catering available, open daily at 8 a.m. The restaurant serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week with a menu of good, healthy, homemade food, including vegetarian and non-vegetarian specialties. 1901 East North Avenue, Milwaukee, 414-278-7878, and online at beansandbarley.com. Really Granola is a small-batch Wisconsin-made granola available at reallygranola.com. This granola uses many organic ingredients and features Wisconsin products such as beautiful red Wisconsin cranberries, local honey, and other delicious Wisconsin products. You'll find plenty of fiber and protein in Really Granola, which makes it a great way to start or end your day. This granola is baked in a Wisconsin co-packing kitchen that helps to employ disabled workers. Find Really Granola near you or to buy online, visit reallygranola.com. Mycorrhizae is a beneficial fungus from PlantSuccess.com that will greatly increase your plant's germination ability and a healthier root structure. You can increase seed sprouting, root growth, and general plant germination. Mycorrhizae can be used with hydroponics, root cutting, seed sprouting, coco core, and soil. PlantSuccess.com carries powder, granule, and tablet forms of mycorrhizae. Increase the level of mycorrhizae in your soil for your plants to give them the optimal opportunity to produce an incredible harvest. For more information and to purchase, visit PlantSuccess.com.
Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show with your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
Welcome back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show. We're happy that you joined us today. Tell your garden buddies, friends, neighbors, people you don't even like, that Garden Radio is back on in the airways here in Milwaukee. The WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, your destination for all things gardening. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, 840-plus garden-related videos all are on there and a whole lot more. Well, it's getting that time of year, if you look at the long-range forecast, Holly, that the temperatures are going to begin to warm here, and people are going to start venturing off to garden centers. And when you go to a garden center, whether it's a big box store, wannabe garden center, or one of these other garden centers, sometimes, or a lot of times when I go in there, I feel like I'm just a number and a dollar sign. But there is one garden center, and that's Blue Mel's, that they treat you like family, whether you've been there the first time or the 101st time.
For sure. Blue Mel's Garden and Landscape Center is that place. They've been around since 1955. Family owned and operated, the owner of the business actually works in the building. That certainly says something. No matter the size of your garden need, Blue Mel's is at 4930 West Loomis Road in Greenfield, and they can supply and surpass all of your garden needs. Go to bluemills.com or call 414-282-4220.
And now, let's go to the ivyorganic.com hotline and bring in our next guest.
So we have Venus Williams. She's the executive director at Alice's Garden. That's at 2136 North 21st Street. It's a two-acre urban community garden in Milwaukee, nurturing families and organizations to reclaim, nourish cultural and family traditions, connect to land and food. And they have 87,000 square feet, the 2 acres, and you can find more information about them at alicesgardenmke.com.
Welcome to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Program, Venus Williams.
Good morning, and thank you for having me this morning.
Well, it's a pleasure. You've taken time out of I follow you on social media. You're extremely busy in the community, and we thank you for taking time to join us and our listeners to shed a little more light on Allison's Garden and what goes on there.
Yes, it is an abundant community, and I have an abundant life, but I am always happy to talk gardening with anyone.
Well, how did the garden start, and why was it created? Can you give us a little background on the garden there?
So I'm always clear to point out that I did not found or create Alice's Garden. I hear that and see that in print quite often, and it makes me cringe because it doesn't give honor and due to the people who did create the garden in 1972 as part of a solution to land that was cleared or the highway that was never built. So it was started by Milwaukee Cooperative Extension. It started off as 3 acres was given to the city of Milwaukee for Brown Street Academy, the school that sits next to us, to expand their playground. And in return, the city of Milwaukee put in the irrigation system that we presently have.
And can anybody rent a plot there, and how large are the plots, and how does that all work? For I know in 2016 you completely had no extra available lots. What does it look like for 2017?
Oh, we're already full for 2017 with a waiting list of about 15 families and organizations who also would like to come into the garden. So we are hoping to really expand to some of the surrounding land and to some other vacant land here in the city of Milwaukee. But if you are interested in renting a plot for next season, you really want to get on the list right now.
Okay. So it's kind of like the allotments over in Europe where years ago there was 20 or 30 year waiting list to get to get a spot. And that is really a positive sign to have a community garden where people are wanting to get in and garden and wanting to put on a waiting list. It's not like you have to go on media and radio and TV and beg people to come out and participate in the gardening craft or hobby or interact just with the community around you.
No, I think there is the myth of the new urban gardener, but I myself come from a family who has been gardening both as rural farmers and as gardeners in urban areas for all of our lives. So even as African Americans migrated to Milwaukee back in the 50s and 60s, one of the first things many families did was find a piece of land to grow food on if they did not have that land attached to their own dwelling. So in our community, we have always been about growing our own food and nourishing ourselves. So I always say that it's great that everyone else is coming back to the land also.
And you share a lot of your photographs and information on your Facebook page there for the garden. And it's not just what some people may think of an older generation. You have everyone from infants to teenagers to millennials. You have a broad range and ethnicities and backgrounds that all participate in this, in the garden.
Indeed. We say that we use gardening as the carrot, pun intended, to get people to come through the gate to impact their entire quality of life. So the garden is a platform for health and wellness for anyone who enters. So there are 120 rental plots, but there are more than 24 programs, events, and opportunities for the entire Greater Milwaukee area and City of Milwaukee to participate. So whether we're talking about our movies in the gardens that will happen monthly during this season, or yoga that happens every Tuesday evening, our open makers market on Tuesday evenings. We have an herbal labyrinth that has programming and events. As a matter of fact, we have one tomorrow marking the spring equinox. So we like to use this outdoor learning environment to engage all of Milwaukee.
Now, do people have to be a rental plot owner or rental person on the gardens there to participate in these activities, or is it for the community at large?
It is open to anyone who would like to come in and enter into the community there and to help build community and to meet people who you may never encounter anywhere else. So we see, last year we saw close to 6,000 different people who came for a variety of events. There are events that happen sponsored by other organizations, such as the Milwaukee County, their annual breastfeeding walk happens every August in the gardens. It starts there and then it continues over to the Fondy Food Center, the Fondy Market. So it really is about a learning and wellness environment that is created by many people. The other thing that I always want to make clear, people see me as the person who really cultivates this community, and I am one of dozens of people who make Alice's Garden come alive.
Fantastic. So you have a program called The Table. What is this? Is it just for those who have plots at Alice's Garden?
So it's actually, Alice's Garden is a program of The Table. So The Table is a spiritual community that is pretty new in its existence, but it is now the umbrella for almost everything that we do, from Alice's Garden to the Body and Soul Healing Arts Center, the community center that we operate. The table gathers on Wednesday evenings. When it's cold, we are indoors. When it is warm enough, we move out to the garden. So it really is another place where we invite Milwaukee to come nurture their health through incredible food that is often a potluck, and the community gathers together like we did this past Wednesday. But it's also a place where we nourish our spirit and our energy. And so, again, anyone is welcome to join us across faith lines, no matter who you are. You know, what's important to us is that Milwaukee connects, that all of the people of Milwaukee find places to connect, and we are just happy that Alice's Garden is one of those spaces.
Now, other than the fresh produce positive aspect of the community garden, what are and you've touched on this, what are some other good reasons to be part of the community garden? Not only the Alice's Garden, but there's community gardens all over the city as well as the country. We have people listen through social media and podcast replay. What are some good other positive returns on a community garden in engagement?
I think anytime humanity understands its place in all of creation, the world is just a better place. And community gardens help you to reconnect with soil, to reconnect with creatures that we often think we need to swat, as opposed to embrace and celebrate the beauty and diversity within creation. But most importantly, community gardens provide a place for people to come out of their own homes and to fully see one another as you grow food or as you engage in activities and programs and projects that really enhance the entire community.
Fantastic. Now, if somebody wants to find a community garden near them, how would they go about doing so?
Well, the American Community Gardening Association has a website that lists many community gardens throughout the country. Here in Milwaukee, you could also connect with Groundworks Milwaukee, who manages and helps birth, I don't know how many, and I was just with them yesterday, so maybe 90-something community gardens. I hope I'm not exaggerating that particular figure. We are also hosting a one-day conference on April 8th in a few Saturdays that will help people to look at even how to birth a community garden. So many people want to meet one-on-one with me or with other people or come and see the garden. We have an opportunity in a few Saturdays for people to come together and to see what we do and how we do it, which we will help do multiple things. One, help people to birth more community gardens, help people to understand the possibilities of community gardening beyond just growing food, which is wonderful and important, but there's so much more you can do in a community garden platform. And then we also would like for people to think about the other smaller components that bring people together. For example, even if you don't have the land or the energy to do a garden, as Sherry Johnson, our spiritual caretaker, shares what happens within the labyrinth, maybe you want to create a garden that is labyrinth-based with a bit of food around it. So I encourage people to, in some ways, think out of the box when it comes to gardening and to really explore what community gardens can do for a neighborhood, for just one city block, or for an entire city.
So you talked about the Maker's Market, and you also, I know you guys sell, you sell fresh produce. What else do you sell besides the fresh produce?
Ooh, if you were in my home this morning, it all smells like essential oils and essential herbs and teas. We have a product line from bath salts to hair and body oils to tea blends, to lip balm, and there are probably people listening, calling out other products that we sell. Herbs are my passion, therefore it's a huge passion of the garden. And so we have an herbal product line that really helped sustain the programs and the projects, and to purchase more soil or that we don't grow ourselves there at the garden. So when we are at farmers markets and people support the Alice's Garden product line, or at the Outpost Makers Market today at 16th and North, it really goes back to help nurture Alice's Garden.
Well, Venus, we greatly appreciate you taking time out of your day to join us. For people who want to find out how to get a hold of you through and purchase your products or see what other products you have available, what's the best way in order for them to do that?
There's alicesgardenmke.com, which has a lot of the products, but not nearly all of them. But it also has links to the other events that will be going on at the garden. You could stop by the Outpost Makers Market every Saturday morning from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Or you can send me an email at zenicewb@msn.com.
Well, thank you very much, Venus. We appreciate your time and the information about the community garden.
Thank you, Venus.
Thank you thank you all, and thank you for all the incredible work you do.
Well, thank you. And we'll be back right after this with your gardening question.
Have a gardening question? You can call into the ivorganic.com hotline at 414-444-5250 right now.
Garden seeds do not have to cost a fortune. Just 99 cents at migardener.com. With over 300 varieties of non-GMO, heirloom, and organic flower, vegetable, and herb seeds available year-round, pay less and get more seeds. Shipping as low as $2.50. That just makes sense. Go to migardener.com for seeds and gardening needs, tools, and special blend fertilizer. migardener.com. It's that simple. Family-owned and operated.
Mantis Plant Protection professional-grade organic pest control solutions. They offer Mantis EC concentrated or ready-to-use sprays, certified organic and environmentally friendly insect killer, gentle on pollinators and other organisms, but effective in killing soft-bodied insects and spider mites fast. Safe around your children and pets. They also have the cleanest and whitest diatomaceous earth on the market. Visit MantisPP.com to receive a free organic pesticide cheat sheet, which is a list of organic insecticides that are used effectively and kills insects fast. Visit MantisPP.com to download it today.
Do you have a problem with deer or small herbivores eating your vegetation? There is a natural solution that is safe for your pets and family. Bobex is the answer, an environmentally friendly solution to protect your plants, will not wash off, and is guaranteed. Bobex Deer was independently tested against 9 known competitors and rated 93% effective, second only to a physical barrier. Bobex can be used on all types of ornamentals, trees, and shrubs. Ask for it by name at your local independent garden center. Find out more, visit Bobex.com. BOBEX.COM.
Eating natural and organic is not as expensive as it used to be, especially when you shop at Woodman's. They have aisles full of certified organic food, from fruits and vegetables to dairy products and even meat, all at great prices. They even have a huge selection of wheat-free and gluten-free items. I can come to Woodman's and get everything I need all under one roof. My name is Alicia, and I shop at Woodman's.
I want a garden center that listens to and understands my needs.
I want to buy my gardening products from a local business with strong ties to the community.
All I want is a garden center that truly values their customers.
It seems like everyone is selling plants these days, but I'm having a hard time finding quality.
I take pride in my garden, so I want my garden center to take pride in their products.
Where will you be going for all of your gardening needs this season? Blue Mel's Garden Center. We are your answer.
Blue Mel's, 4930 West Loomis Road, 414-282-4220.
Now back to two gardeners who know a thing about what burns in their mouths.
And you don't want to use your, you know, organic mouthwash. You want to use something that's got the ethanol, the alcohol in it.
The bad stuff.
Yeah, the stuff that'll burn if you leave it in your mouth for too long.
Joey and Holly Baird.
Welcome back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener radio program. We're so happy you've joined us. WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, your destination for all things gardening, Facebook, Instagram, social media, 840 videos, and a whole lot more. We're going to jump right into the ivyorganics.com hotline because we have callers on the line that have gardening questions. Caller, you're on the line. You have a question or comment?
Oh, yes, I do.
it's so wonderful to listen to your message this morning. I just happened to get up and turn my radio on. Well, and my radio stays on this station all the time. I let no one move my station because when I push the button, I expect to get information, and that's just what our community needs. And I would like to thank Ms. Venus Williams. That's what we need in our community. We're having a Faces of Hope, and that she is a face of hope with her organization, and you guys are too, for bringing this message to us this morning. I just wanted to say thank you, and we at the Wisconsin African American Women's Center is just so proud that we have this kind of information going out to our people when we so badly need information like this. Now, me, myself, I'm not too much on gardening. I've been considering having one of those hanging baskets with the tomatoes. So, but I'm afraid that I might overwater it or do something to harm it. So I'm hoping that maybe you could give me some information. I have a spinal problem and I can't bend over, you know, to really garden, to get down there and, you know, really do what you're supposed to do when you're gardening. So I've considered the hanging baskets. Do you have any information for me on that?
You're talking about the what is called a topsy-turvy, the upside-down hanging tomato.
Yeah, something like that.
It would be very good in your situation for a cherry variety. Those are the most prolific in those type of containers. You do want to keep it watered, but because of the way the design of it is, you're not going to overwater it. I believe there's drainage holes to where if you overwater it, it's just going to run out. But that would be a very good way in order for you to get fresh produce because your mobility issues. So I would invest in a couple of them. Now, don't think you're going to have enough to can 40 quarts of tomatoes, but it's going to be enough for you to enjoy that fresh produce that you desire to have on your property.
Well, that's a wonderful thing. You know, I'm a single grandmother, and that would be great for me. And I can probably have more to share with the people down at the center where I volunteer. So it's a wonderful thing. Thank you so much again. I do appreciate it. And keep up the good work.
Thank you very much for the kind words.
I'll be listening every Saturday, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you for calling and listening.
Caller, do you have a question or comment?
Yes. You mentioned something about potato towers.
Yes.
Now, what would I do if I want to plant sweet potatoes?
Sweet potatoes are a different variety, or a different form of actual traditional potatoes that, like we know. Sweet potatoes, you plant what is called slips, and that's is the hub of where all the potatoes grow horizontal or grow down into the soil, and they vine out. So you would want it to get slips in order to grow sweet potatoes, but those can be expensive. So here's what you want to do. Get a sweet potato from an organic grocery store because sometimes they spray chemicals if you go to the big box store on the potatoes. And then you'll cut the bottom 1 inch. You'll pick an end and cut about 1 inch of the potato off so you see the internal portions of the potato and slide it in a glass, a jar, a mason jar with toothpicks so it hovers in the water. And in about 4 to 6 weeks, you'll begin to see sprouts coming up off of the top portion above the water. You'll see roots develop under the water. And then once those green stalks get 6-8 inches tall, or about a week before you're actually going to put it in the ground or in a container, snap them off, just pinch them off of the actual potato tuber, and then set them in water and allow them to root. And then you can plant those in the ground. That is the most economical way in order to create slips for sweet potatoes.
Okay. I heard they're supposed to be a lot healthier than a regular potato.
They don't have the starch levels. Is that right, Holly?
Right. They're a little bit less starchy, and they're more in-depth carbohydrates, so they're going to get they still have carbs, but they're going to give you a little bit more nutrients.
And I know deep-frying them takes the goody out of them, but deep-fried sweet potatoes are pretty good.
Okay. One other question?
Yes.
You mentioned M&I seeds last week, and I do not have the Internet. Is there a way of getting an 800 number and calling them?
I don't think they're just really an internet-based company. That's
we could always ask them.
Yeah, I have a direct line to the owner, and then I can get that information to you next week. But I don't want to give out, you know, information without having permission from him. But we will certainly put that down as a homework project for this week to enable you to have the seeds that you need to grow a garden.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Those calls came in on the ivyorganics.com hotline. Holly, what is Ivy Organics?
Ivy Organic is a 3-in-1 plant guard, naturally protects plants against damaging sunburn, insects, and rodents. Protects newly installed plants and trees, shields pruned and damaged surfaces for use on your roses, fruit, and nut trees, ornamental trees, and shrubs. This product is non-toxic, environmentally safe, and organic. For more information, you can visit ivyorganics.com.
So if you have a question, we've got about 3 minutes for you to call in on the ivyorganics.com hotline at 414-444-5250. We do have a question that came in this week through our email system at twvgradio@gmail.com, and you can use that at any time that you would like to send us a question. The question is, I'm constructing new raised beds this spring and using them over existing grass. What would you recommend to place over the grass before I fill them with soil to kill the grass?
Well, you could just use simple cardboard. If you have some cardboard boxes laying around, you can place that over where you're going to put your raised bed.
Now, if it's just regular grass that you've had seeded in your yard, grass is a very normal grass that you have seeded has a very weak system to it. So you really don't even need the cardboard. Now, cardboard would be a good insurance policy, but you could simply just make the raised beds, cover the grass with the compost that you're filling the beds with, and it will smother the grass out. Now, if you have some strong weeds in there,
like
Creeping Charlie or something, that will penetrate through the grass or through the soil, whether it's 6 inches or a foot thick. So I would insure with cardboard. And don't worry about the glue and the cardboard and all that. That's going to break down. That's a minute amount of potential toxicity. With the amount of toxicity that we consume every day, that's minor in the whole realm of putting soil in to grow your own produce to eat healthier. So that's a easy thing to go about doing on that one.
Okay, so real quick, do you know much about blueberries? And this is from Allison. She wants to know, do you know much about blueberries and which are best to grow in southeast Wisconsin?
Now, we are in Zone 5, 5A in the Milwaukee area. So when you go to the garden center, when you go to Blue Mel's, they have plant tags, and that indicates what zone, and they're not going to buy, they're not going to have something on the shelf at Blue Mel's that it can only be grown in Texas. They're not going to do that to you because they value you as a customer and as a friend. So you want to look at the plant tag, and there are varieties in which grow best in the southeast Wisconsin, the Milwaukee area. Real quickly, the sponsors of this program are the only reason why we are here, and the support of those sponsors mean a lot to us and to them, so we can not only do this program, but come back next year again. And
Nacella Kombucha is the executive sponsor of the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. Nacella is made in Wisconsin with local tea and natural herbs. Look for it in the refrigerator at your local grocer. If you don't see it, ask for it, because if it's not Nacella Kombucha, it's not kombucha. And for more information, you can visit Nacella.com. And you're going to talk about what's going on.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about what's going on next week. We have a caller. Okay, caller's gone. Next week on the program, we are going to discuss setting up that garden in the backyard, what you need to know, the steps you need to take in order to make your first year the best year so you don't make the mistakes that we did, as well as 5 vegetables that you may not have never grown or thought about that you should consider growing and the reasons why. Our guest next week is Jenny Peterson. She is the author of the Cancer Survivors Garden Companion book. She was a cancer survivor, and she wrote a book about it. She used gardening as a therapeutical element in order to help her healing. So she will be with us. And miss any portion of this show or previous shows, visit the radio tab on our website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com. You can see podcast replays as well as in-studio video of what goes on during the show. So if you want to have a visual, that will be there as well. And if you want more people to know about this program, jump on that internet and send an email to the TV stations and let them know that we're doing a positive thing in this community and we want more people to know about it.
Holly Baird.
I'm Joy Baird. And until next week, we will see you in the garden.